How would you like to make millions of dollars with a startup? Harshad will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Harshad is he's the founder and CEO of HealWheel and co-founder of Hapdex, Kepway, Sachna, and Prosmer, which operates under HealWheel as a parent. And he embarked on his entrepreneurial journey at the age of 21 in 2021 with his first startup, DocGo, which has since rebranded as Hapdex. Okay, so Harshad, tell us more about how can entrepreneurs make millions with one startup.
Welcome to Awakened Titans podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, Lily, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Super excited for this conversation. Looking forward to add value to your audience. Answering your question, how to make millions by creating startup. So this question is very, very deeper and linear from a different perspectives. So my perspective is very simple. If you have the ability to solve a real problem, a real painful problem for the customers, then the probability of you making millions or even billions in the startup ecosystem, in the startup world, is quite higher. In other words, startups are all about creating real and new wealth. What do I mean by real and new wealth? So, for example, United States of America is now like 30 trillion economy, right? Once upon a time, it was $20 trillion of economy. So $5 trillion or maybe like $10 trillion is added in the last decade or so in the US's, you know, economy. So what does this mean by? This is creation of wealth, the creation of new wealth, creation of real wealth. So this creation of wealth is being possible with the help of startups. Startups are all about solving pain points of the consumer, solving really, really pressing problems in the world, and bringing, you know, technological revolution, innovative revolution in the society. Therefore, creating new wealth or maybe creating millions by building startups tend to be possible.
Thank you. Tell us about how you have used a massive problem that your audience had as a way to become a multimillionaire, a successful multimillionaire with yours.
Yeah. So right now, we are building four companies under a parent company name as HealWheel. So we are solving different problems of different industries, of different markets in each of these companies, subsidiary companies. We are calling it as ABCD. So they are named as Hapdex, Kepwi, Sachna, and Prosmer. So for example, in Hapdex, we are solving a very simple problem, which is we want to give the best possible seamless experience to the patients, be it in clinic, experience or virtual or online experiences, via OPD management system, via application, via website, via web app, and so on. You see, so for example, let's say a customer or a consumer is going to a shopping mall. So the experience is so good, right, that, you know, there is a recall value added over there. But in India, specifically in developing nations in India, the patient experience in hospitals, clinic, primary and secondary care clinics are not that good. So therefore, we are solving these pressing problems for the patients. On the other hand, for the second startup, Kepwi, we are solving different kind of problem for different kind of audience and different kind of niche. So for Kepwi, what we are doing is basically we are, you know, built an app platform for our customers to get relevant advices for their, you know, investment purpose, for getting them financial free and, you know, achieving their financial security or financial freedom. We are doing this by multiple products and services in our pipeline, be it advisory, investment advisory, be it short-term, long-term, mid-term trades, investment advisors, and so on. Third is Sachna. Sachna is basically what we are doing. We are basically an early stage startup wherein, we are basically investing in startups and founders at an early stage where there is no revenue, right? Also, we have built a platform at Sachna where we are connecting investors, VCs, and founders with relevant startups. So we are like the bridge for the startup ecosystem. So US is a different country, right? I mean, it's very, very developed. It's very, very mature and so on. So startup ecosystem over there is entirely different game. But in nations like India or other developing nations, startup ecosystem are very new, nascent, immature. So obviously there are a lot of, demand and need for platforms like Sachna. At Prosmo, what we are doing is basically solving a very, very pressing problem right now, which the world needs to address due to social media and, a lot of things, right? Which is obviously human consciousness and human intelligence. So we have built an application at Prosmo where we are trying to upgrade the human consciousness and human intelligence of our customers.
Thank you. Tell us more about how can someone make millions with a startup. So first, what they do is that they look at finding a pressing problem, a problem that people are desperate to solve. And where can they find this problem? And how do they get the funding to take this idea that is a validated problem that people have and to turn that idea into a business that makes money?
Right. Great question. So your question is basically divided into two parts as follows. Number one is where to get problems or, ideas basically. So I divide problems into two different categories. One is just a problem and one is basically painkiller for the audience. So problem can create incremental innovation, whereas painkillers or painkillers can create like drastic innovations. For example, electric vehicles, reusable rockets, and so on. On the other hand, random problems can just create incremental innovation like health tech, ed tech, logistic tech, and so on kind of stuff. So problems, I feel, you must try to address a problem which you have seen or experienced on your own. Because until and unless you don't have the right inspiration, the right motivation, the right gut feeling that, okay, this is the real problem which I have faced in the first place. So therefore, there might be a large pool of audience out there which may be facing the similar kind of problem. Right. So I feel don't look consciously for the problems, but try to experience and feel the problem for yourself in the first place and then go out to solve for other people. Answering a second question, where to raise funds and capital from external investors. So different countries have different structures, but they are almost same, like 90-95%. So for example, you want to just test the depths of the water in the initial stage, then you can seek from your own friends and family or maybe from your own pocket savings and so on. Once you get a small minimum viable product out there in the market and give the product to the customers, to the audience, then you have to raise funds because you want to now achieve product market fit and you want to scale and you want to grow and expand and so on. So in this case, so there are different multiple options. These are basically angel investors, high net worth individuals, venture capital firm, VCs like Sequoia Capital, which is very, very famous in the West and as well as in India as well. Then there are multiple accelerators and incubators like Y Combinator. There might be government schemes and government grants. I have no idea about US, but in India, there are a lot of government schemes and government grants which gives the founders anywhere between 5 lakh rupees to 50 crore rupees, which is $5,000 to anywhere between $5 million, which is huge, right? And these grants are basically non-refundable grants, which is unbelievable, right? In countries like India. So yeah, angel investors, high net worth individuals, venture capital firms, private equity firms, non-NBFCs, and yeah, that's all. So there are 4-5 funding sources for startups to raise external funding or external capital.
Tell us more about the healing part of the business that you have. And because you said that there are some issues with health clinics and so on in certain countries. Tell us more about the solution that you have come up with to solve that problem.
Yeah, so could you repeat your question? What was your question?
You would like me to repeat the question?
Yeah, please. Okay. Yeah.
So tell us more about the solution you have come up with the business that does the healing for the clinics. What exactly does your solution provide that counters the problem that people have with health clinics in your country?
Right. So in countries like India, where doctor to patient ratio is 1:10,000 and WHO is recommending doctor to patient ratio 1:1,000. So it's like 10x in India. So here is the core problem of the entire situation, where there are a lot of patients, but on the other hand, on the demand, on the supply side, there are very few doctors, very few expertise doctors. Therefore, there is a huge challenge in primary care clinics, where clinics are overcrowded like anything, which means there are like patient needs to wait anywhere between 30 minutes to 60 minutes or beyond that 60 minutes, you know. So what HabDex is doing is basically we are drastically reducing the wait time at clinics via our application. If you book an application appointment via our application or via our website, then we are promising that you won't wait at our clinics more than 5 minutes, right? So this is a change we are bringing. You know, patients used to wait like 30 to 60 minutes averagely, but after using our application, using our service, using our product, they are not waiting more than 5 minutes. So this is the very, very small and niche segment we have been targeted so far. And now in the future, maybe in the future, we may be scaling to different verticals as well.
Thank you. Now, I think, and you can correct me, please, if I'm wrong, but I think that there are certain cultures where, for example, people are late all the time. I'm wondering how you manage additional problems that you haven't considered. So let's say, yeah, you're reducing the time frame that people might need to wait, but are actually the clients going to be there, I'm wondering, because, you know, like in countries where it's kind of customary to be 30 minutes, 40 minutes late for your doctor's appointment, I'm wondering whether, you know, you're trying to solve the issue of people not having to wait, but you have additional problems you haven't considered. And that's the same thing that happens in every business. So how does someone kind of like deal with problems they haven't considered when they're trying to make millions with a startup?
So as a founder, as a startup founder, so two things. You need to stay connected with your customers, because when you observe your customers, when you observe the problems faced by the customers, then obviously you can provide them the solution via your application, product, and whatever, right? So staying connected with the customer, getting constant feedback from the customers, and understanding what problems they are facing and trying to build solution around that problem might help in the shorter term. Over a longer term, I feel as a company, you have a vision, right? You have a vision. And in that company, in that startup, you have a product. So you have a product vision as well. So I feel, you know, it also depends on the, you know, sort of what vision you are having for your company and what vision you are having for the product which you are building. So two things, basically, it's the customer and the product.
Thank you. I think that in India and certain countries like that, it's quite common that you negotiate everything from a really young age. So you become almost like a really good businessman from the age of, I don't know, five. You can, again, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. But and I think it's the same in like Turkey and Bangladesh and those kind of countries where you're forced in a way to negotiate your way to success in terms of like even buying apples from the market and whatever. So you become like a great businessman in progress. But I'm wondering for countries where perhaps it's not so common to negotiate, like the US or UK or other countries where you just go to the supermarket and you buy stuff and you're not negotiating, you're not trained to be like a negotiator, you're not trained so much to be like a business person from a really young age. I'm wondering, what can people do to become better negotiators and better closers when it comes to closing deals that are worth millions in the long run? And of course, starting with small ticket items like $500. How do people get that confidence and courage and practice to become great closers and great negotiators?
Yeah. So you have basically pointed out a very correct point, which is India, like people in India negotiate quite a lot, not just in business deals or something like that, but just on a daily basis. Like, you know, if they want to buy fruits or vegetables on the markets, then obviously they will negotiate slightly and so on. And the reason is very simple, due to the economical, there are a lot of, you know, economical reasons. You know, India has been a poor country for the last like 200, 250 years due to what happened pre-independence 1947. That's a different story. But answering to your question, like how to be a good negotiator. So it's very important, you know. You are an all-rounder when you are building a startup, because like most of the people I have seen, they are either into tech or operations or marketing or finance or, you know, something like that. But I feel as a startup founder, it's your whole and sole responsibility. You build yourself as an all-rounder. All-rounder in the sense, you must understand everything, like just the summary of the entire book. For example, tech, marketing, finance, operations, people, hiring, funding, investors, everything, right? Everything out there, at least in the initial stages, until your company is not growing at a larger scale and it's been not mature. So how to be a good negotiator? Basically, I feel these skills are, you know, inherently natural or, you know, intuitive, because I feel I am a very good negotiator because I've done a lot of deals and negotiated quite a lot. So yeah, my answer would be like, people can be a good negotiator if they practice a lot, and in exceptional cases, most of the people are a good negotiator naturally.
Thank you. What do you think differentiates people who have great ideas but they don't turn it into millions in their startup, and those who do end up making millions with their startup? Imagine two people with similar ideas, but one who makes the startup a massive success and another one who doesn't. What's the difference between the two?
Yeah. So 90% of the startups fail, right? We all know that, right? Which means 100 in 90 startups will fail and 10 startups will succeed. So startups who fail and startups who succeed, the key difference, there are a lot of factors, but now since you have been asking in a very brief way, then I'll say there are three T's, right? So one T is basically team. So why team? See, the founding team is very important because you know, they are your everything. They are your partners, they are your founders, they are your investors. Everything, right? They are building your product, they are creating marketing campaigns, they are managing your accounts, everything, every damn little thing. So I feel initial team is very important, like initial 10-15 people. Second team is timing. So timing is very important. So let's say if I have to launch a company like Google Search in 2025, what is the probability of me making it happen? It's almost 0%, because Google search game is over, right? I mean, Google has been launched in 1998. So that was the right time for Google to succeed. But if you give me like $100 billion, but still I won't be able to succeed, because timing matters a lot, you know, timing matters a lot. Right time, right bunch is what I feel helps startups to succeed, like at least like 25-30%. Third is very important, TAM, which is total addressable market. So what is total addressable market? So let's say there is an industry, new industry, like let's say AI, artificial intelligence, and AI is industry or market is growing at 30% CAGR. And by 2030, I'm talking about India, right? By 2030, it's expected to go anywhere between $50 to $60 billion a year. So $50 to $60 billion is not your TAM. Your TAM is what you are building your product around. So your TAM may be like, your TAM may be like, for example, in our case, human consciousness and human intelligence. We are building a product around that. So our TAM is very small. It's like $600 to $700 million. So I feel TAM is also very important. So let's say there is a opportunity, revenue generation opportunity in our industry, in our market, which is like $700 million, and we get like 1% market share. So what is the probability of like how much revenue we can generate? It's like $7 million, if I'm not wrong. So yeah, three things basically: team, timing, and TAM, total addressable market.
Thank you. What's the best way to find the total addressable market when you're trying to market your products and services for your business?
Yeah, so there is a very interesting framework. So you have to go from top-down approach. You have to follow the top-down approach. What I mean is market and company. So let's say industry is whole. Like, for example, AI is an industry. So let's say $100 billion is the opportunity. Does that mean you have a $100 billion opportunity? No, that is not your total addressable market. Then comes the market. So in our case, what we are building at Prosmer specifically is a product around consciousness and intelligence. So what is the TAM for that specific niche market is what I call TAM, total addressable market. It's not the entire size of the industry, but the size of the market. It's very small. So in our case, it's like $700 million. And if we capture 1% market share, then obviously we can generate like $7 million of annual revenues. So yeah, formula is very simple: industry, market, and then comes the company.
Thank you. How do we discover how long we have to implement that particular idea before it actually becomes outdated, or before too many people kind of come and try to take a share of that same market?
Yeah. See, we have already discussed about funding, right? See, VCs and private equity firms bet on startups on how fast they can grow.
Yes.
Are they growing 100% a year? Are they growing 200% a year? And so on. These are the same kind of expectations they have. And in conclusion, what I mean is startups are all about how fast you can move, right? So I feel speed is very, very important. Now, speed factor depends on multiple things, which I have mentioned earlier, which is your team, which is your
money,
investors, external funding, which is your customer, which is your product. Nothing can beat product. Product is almost, when you build the right product and when you are solving a real problem, 50% of your work is done. You have won the game 50%. It's so important. Building the product, a great product, and solving the real problem. So,
tell us, how did you or some of the people you coached become investable? And what does it take to become investable as a company so that investors pour millions of dollars into your company?
Right. So, Lily, we are basically investing in a very early stage startups where we have no idea whether even this startup will be there for the next 6 months or not. So they are very, very high risk startups. They are very, very high risk class, assets. So at the initial stage, what we look at is just the team. That's all. 90% we look at the team, like, because you see, the team is right. If the team is ambitious, if they are visionary, then they will find a way to make it happen, right? They will find a way to succeed. I'm talking about an early stage where we invest in the early stage. We don't invest in growth stage or pre-IPO stage, but early stage. So only one thing is team. If you have the right team, you will build the right product. You will figure out things. Everything will happen, right? So team.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you and your company's solutions.
They can connect with me via my social profiles, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, which is now X. Or they can connect with me via my email, which is harshad@keelwheelcorp.com. And definitely, we will look forward to collaborating some way or the other, for sure.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.